Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hello and welcome along to the GAA Postcast with me, David Jennings, Kilkenny All-Ireland winner Aidan Fogarty. We've got Joe Sheridan in part two to preview the football qualifiers, and Damien Fitzgerald from our sponsors, Paddy Power, as well. So we didn't think we'd have any major hurling action this weekend. We thought it'd be the two easy-to-predict matches, Westmeath and Wexford and Carlow and Limerick, but we have got a Leinster final replay in Munster. Yes, the Leinster hurling final replay is going to be in Semple Stadium at 3 o'clock on Sunday live on RTE. I suppose, Aidan, will we start calling you Judas, maybe? Last weekend you told us that Kilkenny had no chance. The demise of this Kilkenny team, you thought maybe 5 or 6 point win for Galway. We were doubting Brian Cody. We didn't know what his best team was. We didn't know if the players were any good. We thought Kilkenny would be in the doldrums for the next 10 years. And lo and behold, Billy Ryan has sprung from the bench and Brian Cody seems to find a solution to another problem. Discuss.
Yeah, David, you really put me to the sword there, to be fair to you. There's no holding back. I said a 4 or 5 point win by Galway, by the way, and I never said to get you in demise. I said they're a decent team and they'll put up to anyone.
Well, those that know me, Aidan, know that I'm prone to exaggeration.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I did get it wrong. I didn't think Galway would win it. And maybe I forgot about Kilkenny, and maybe I forgot about the Brian Cody ethos that he instills in his players, because they really came out fighting. And look, I did say last week that if Galway got ahead of themselves and thought this thing was going to be easy, that it could turn up against them. And that looked kind of the way on Sunday, really. Like, they were well off the pace. A lot of their players underperformed and didn't get to the heights that they did last year. And maybe that's down to the fact of how good Kenny were. They really, really tackled him hard. And that's the kind of game it was towards the Munster final. It was more kind of an arm wrestle, you know. It was really intense, tough, hard hurling. And in saying that, the skill level was very high. You know, you had hooking and blocking, and then skills in hurling are the other side of it that people probably don't want to see, but it's the other side of hurling that is exceptional, and Kilkenny always bring to the table, and Galway, and it's the kind of Leinster style of hurling towards the Munster style of hurling. So, and the feeling was awesome, like, as well. So, like, really tough game, and low-scoring game, like we predicted.
Now, Aidan, you're in the camp, so you know better than us. You've been in the Brian Cody camp. Last weekend, he sprung Billy Ryan into the action. For all I knew, it could have been Billy Ray Cyrus that he sprung into the action. I hadn't a clue who this fella was. I had never heard of him before. In your time with Kilkenny, was there ever a player that was, you know, in the starting team for a big game that you said to yourself, what the feck is going on here? What's he starting this lad for? Was there a kind of a game or that you can remember? Maybe that player came on to be a legend, I don't know. But was there an incident like that that's happened during your time?
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, I was at the other side of it. Like the 2012 All-Ireland replay against Galway, he sprung Walter Welsh out of absolutely nowhere. He was playing very well in training. We drew the first game. And we trained all that. I think it was a 3-week build-up to the Galway game. And we trained away. And the team looked pretty much like the team Walter Welsh was coming in now. It's more of right onto the A versus B teams. But all of a sudden, the chart was flicked over on Friday night, and Walter Welsh was starting corner forward. And unfortunately, I was sitting on the bench, and that's the way it rolls, and that's the way Cody works. He's ruthless.
And you're obviously talking to the other lads. Like, when you're walking out that night, do you kind of say, "What the feck is he at? What the hell is that fella starting for?" Was there any of that kind of chat? No.
There actually wasn't, because to be fair, Brian has done it all through the years. Like, he's done it in the Charlie Carter era, and he's obviously done it in our era as well. And he's not afraid of making changes. And one thing Brian always did say in training, that if you're going well in training, you have a good chance of starting. And the fact that he had done it before kind of led us on to believe that everyone is in with a chance with actually playing. So we're walking out literally, we're absolutely surprised. And, you know, a lot of lads were disappointed on the same night. But look, that's what he does. He springs these, he's not afraid to make these changes. And he does. And apparently, I was talking to two guys, and Billy Ryan has been burning it up in training for the last 2 weeks. And hence the guys start.
And did you say to Brian after the team was picked and Walter Walsh was starting, did you say, what's going on here, Brian, or do you just accept it?
Look, you just accept it. There's no point in saying that to Brian Cody, because Brian Cody will nod his head and go, yeah, and he will not give you any information whatsoever. So you're just better off taking it on the chin and moving on, because you're not going to get much information on Brian Cody as to why or the ifs and buts. And to be fair to Walter, he scored 1-3 in that Ireland that day. as Billy Ryan did very well in the Leinster final as well. So yeah, the proof is in the pudding. And look, I suppose if Walter didn't play that well and if he lost the game, I might have had a chat then, all right.
Unfortunately for you, there was method to his madness in 2012. And 6 years on, 2018, it is the Leinster Hurling Final replay. And Damien Fitzgerald, can we get some prices and handicaps for round two, or round three, should I say, of Galway v Kilkenny?
Yeah, we're just a couple of takes bigger Galway this week. So we're 4-9 Galway for the win, 10-1 the draw. And Kilkenny are 9-4. Galway minus 3 is 10-11. Handicap draw is 11-1. And Kilkenny plus 3 is evens.
And from a Paddy Power point of view, I presume that was the perfect result last weekend.
Yeah, it was a good result. Whenever you get a draw, you're happy enough. We did lay a little bit pre-match, but with all the accumes and stuff, you're always happy enough to get a draw.
And it was a funny type of game in that at one stage, maybe with 5 or 6 minutes to go, I think Galway were 3 points ahead. And it looked like they might even cover the handicap at that stage. And then yeah, for it to turn right around was obviously great for yous.
Yeah, no, it looked like they were going to cover it. It looked like they just got on top at that stage. And like at that stage, you were probably, when there were 3 points up with like 4 or 5 minutes left, you would have expected them to close it out. Because like Kilkenny, while they were defending well, they weren't really providing much of a threat to Galway going forward. They're relying on a lot of frees to score. So it was kind of 3 points. It doesn't sound like a lot, but at that stage of the game, it seemed like a long way for Kilkenny to come back. And in fairness to them, they did. And Galway will be fairly disappointed with that, as well as with a lot of other things that it had.
And surely, like for I think a lot of people watching the game would agree that it looked like there was a little bit of complacency setting in on the Galway side. They were a little bit lethargic. They just didn't look the Galway side that, you know, were so ruthless towards the latter stages of last year, and even in the first half of this year's championship, they just didn't seem to have that spark. And maybe that's the kick up the arse, as my mother would say, that they needed.
I think it can go either way now. I think, like, in one thing I would say is I think this game is a bigger game than it was last week, because I don't think either team will fancy going out and playing Limerick next weekend. So the losers of this are in a lot of trouble, I think. Like, I think the losers of this are going to be really struggle to get back into the championship, whereas the winners, you'll get your few weeks, and obviously winning this will give the team a boost. But I think the team that loses this could be in trouble. And Galway, as you said, they didn't play well last week. There was a lot of talk from them in the press in the week before about how Kilkenny feared them and stuff like that. And I think Kilkenny proved that was wrong anyway. And I'm not sure that was a good idea to rile up Kilkenny, to be honest. I think Galway, you would expect a reaction from them, but like, Everton's been going along great from Galway, and Everton has been like going since last year. Everyone's telling them how great they are and that they're winning all the time and that they're the best team and nobody's going to touch them. And now just could put a bit of doubt in their head. So I'm not absolutely sure we'll get a positive reaction from Galway, but you'd hope we would anyway, from their point of view anyway.
Now, over to you, Judas. Last weekend, obviously, you thought Galway would win convincingly, 4 or 5 points, you thought. Have you changed your mind after looking at last week's 70 minutes?
I have, yeah. I think Galway are kind of believing their own hype, and I think they got caught up kind of in the media side of things as well. As I said, they're in the papers an awful lot up to the weekend. I remember when we were winning things, like, there was one thing we were told is not go to the media, you know, treat them like mushrooms, keep them in the corner and feed him shit. That's basically what we were told to do,
whoa,
you know?
Whoa, you're talking to a journalist here now.
Well, I think they have now, you're well used to it now after Brian Cody, you're not going to be put out of it. So, like, when you're winning, it's actually more important to come under the radar and don't be giving anything away. And I think Galway kind of got caught up in that a small bit. And I was kind of thinking there, even last year, like, they played a Tipperary team and beat them by a pint. And look at it now, perhaps Tipperary on a downward curve. They played in their Ireland final against Waterford, where I thought Waterford had a time and a place where they actually could have taken Galway if they really believed in it. Like, Kevin Moore missed a pint, and that was a huge turning point, and one or two frees after. And obviously Galway kicked on and were deserving champions. And this year in the Leinster Championship, weren't really tested. And obviously they're brilliant hurlers and they can play very well, but it's the mental resolve, I think, and it's actually when it's in the heat of battle, and we've always said it through the years, Galway could come out and absolutely lambast you and kill you by about 15 pints. And then the other side of it is where they can come out and be on top and just disappear if it's really put up to them and if they're in the intense level, are really at a high level. And that's what Kilkenny bought on Sunday. So I think for this Sunday, and there's no better man to do it than in Brian Cody in a replay. I think Brian Cody has only lost one replay in his term as Kilkenny manager, and that was against Dublin and Portlaoise in 2013. So Brian is well used to this, and he would have got up Monday morning and he would have looked at this video two or three times. And what he will do is he won't be afraid to make changes, and he'll set up his team to nullify what Galway did very well last weekend. And that's why I think Kilkenny are a way better position for this Sunday than they were last Sunday.
Very interesting. So, if I was to nail your colours to the mast, what is the Aidan Fogarty bet on this replay?
Yeah, well, I think I'm going for Kilkenny for the win. I just think Kilkenny have their number mentally, and I think they're going to come with a physicality. It's going to be a no-scoring game again, I think. And I just have my doubts about Galway for them reasons that when it's really pushed up to them, do they have the real belief to get over the line? And it's really at a high intense level. Have they the composure and have they the leaders to take them over the line? Yes, Kilkenny are struggling small in forwards, but I think Kilkenny are actually improving every game they're playing. That game will bring on them young guys massively. Like, there were seven guys that didn't play in Croke Park there that played last weekend, and they did very well. So I think Kilkenny are getting better. I think Galway can also get better, but it's the fact of, will Kilkenny actually let them play to the standards they can? And I think Kilkenny will actually just have their number. So I'm back in Kilkenny for Sunday, so I'm no longer a Judas there.
No, you've turned, you've learned your lesson. Cody has got the better of you. He's wrapped you around his finger once again. 9-4 Kilkenny with Paddy Power is Aidan Fogarty's tip on this match. Damien Fitzgerald, you going to follow him in?
No, I do give Kilkenny a chance, and like, if I think if Kilkenny are to win, it will have to be fairly tight and low scoring again, because they're not really getting enough scores out of a lot of their forwards from play. They're relying on frees a lot. I think Galway, you have to give them one more chance. Like, they do seem like they have a lot of improvement in them. If they get that improvement, and as you say, probably a bit of a kick up there, so I think they should be able to win by -3, like 4 or 5 points. So I'd probably go Galway -3, but it wouldn't be that confident a vote.
Okay, that's 10 to 11 with Paddy Power. Galway -3. I have the casting vote here, and it's funny, I actually thought Kilkenny were too big of a price last weekend, but I just thought Galway were so lackadaisical, so lethargic. Everton was an effort, and I just thought the fact that they were still, whatever, 2 or 3 points up with a couple of minutes to go just told me that they're just a little bit ahead of Kilkenny at the moment. So I'm going to go for Galway -3 at 10 to 11. Sorry, Aidan, I hope you're actually right for your own reputation in Kilkenny, but I'm going to go for Galway -3. So moving on to the first goal scorer and man of the match markets. Damien, we'll come to you first for your selections.
First goal scorer, going to be pretty tight, I'd say. I don't think there'll be many goals. Under 2.5 goals is 6-5. If I was going with someone first goal scorer, Joe Canning at 15-2. I think, like, one thing about Galway last week, I thought, is they went for goal an awful lot. Joe Canning went for goal a couple of times when he maybe could have taken the point. So I think at 15-2, a decent enough bet. Man the match, Doughty Burke. Probably could have got man the match in every game so far this year. He's just the best fullback in the country. And I think, again, he'll really stand out. So Doughty Burke at 14-1.
Yeah, that's a big price, I thought. Given that he played well again last week, yeah. I thought 14-1 was a big price. Yeah, you're agreeing with me there, Aidan.
Yeah, it looks a big price, like, sorry.
Aidan, your selections for first goal scorer and man of the match?
Yeah, well, I suppose, look, I'm back in Kilkenny to win it. So I'm going for man of the match for James Maher. I think, looking at last weekend, obviously, Borg Welch is going to get man of the match sometime, and he was exceptional, and he was brilliant. I was surprised he didn't get man of the match last weekend. But James Maher, for me, has been very consistent through the whole championship. I think this game, these type of games suit him. It's kind of a hard physical game. He's very good at his work rate is excellent, and he always chips in with a point or two. And I think the Star gave him man of the match as well during the week. So I think consistently James Maher has been very good all week, and I'll be going for him for man of the match. I think he's actually 28-1.
28-1. We love a bit of 28-1, Aidan. Lovely stuff. And first goal scorer?
First goal scorer. Look, I'm going to go with the newbie, Billy Ryan. I know Kilkenny didn't really threaten the goal last weekend, but I think this guy, he's been burning up in training, and he played very well the last day, so I think he will start. And I think Galway won't know his number. You know, they're not too sure about how this guy operates. So I'll go with Billy Ryan for first goal at 11-1.
Lovely stuff. So 11-1 and 28-1 pokes from Aidan Fogarty. That is the Leinster Hurling Final Replay. 3 o'clock, Semple Stadium in Thurles on Sunday. We've also got two other Hurling Championship clashes. We've got the clash of Westmeath and Wexford and Carlow and Limerick. Westmeath and Wexford, first of all, Damien, just some price and handicaps.
It's 14-1 Westmeath, 33 is the draw, 1-40 Wexford. Westmeath plus 13 is evens. The handicap draw is 12-1, and Wexford minus 13 is 10-11.
Damien, I'm going to come to you here first. We're going to rattle through these fairly lively, but when you're doing up handicaps for these games, I presume there's a couple of yous, and just talk us through the process. Do you all write down on a piece of paper what you think the handicap should be, and then it's the average of all the handicaps? Or how do you discuss what the handicap should be? Is there a team meeting?
Yeah, we'd try and get three or four opinions, I suppose, just on something like this. You can get a fair mix of numbers on a game like this, because like there's not really any form between them. They haven't played each other recently, and it's not a game you're used to pricing. So yeah, there can be a bit of a mix, and then it's the average, and you kind of discuss it out a bit just to see where you're going.
Okay, so now we want to know is what was Damien Fitzgerald's handicap for Westmeath and Wexford?
Mine was like between 11 and 12, probably.
You didn't get your way?
No, I didn't. We have to take the middle. I think Westmeath can keep this tight enough. Like, I don't think Wexford are a massive scoring threat as a team. Like, I don't think they really have those forwards that are going to be scoring like 1-4, 1-5 from play. So I think Westmeath can keep it tight at home. Like the thing about these two games is, like, obviously it's a big advantage to Westmeath and Carlow that they have the home game. So yeah, plus 13. I'd rather back Westmeath plus 13, I think, here.
And like, there has been games in the past. Now, this is just me going into my subconscious and thinking, but I'm nearly sure that Westmeath have played Galway in Mullingar on a couple of occasions where it's been sticky enough for Galway in the last couple of years, has it?
Yeah, I think they've given Galway a game. And I think they gave Limerick a game in Mullingar a few years ago as well. So it's a tight enough pitch, Mullingar. And like, I don't think Wexford will be completely wound up. But like, the thing is with Wexford and Limerick as well, that like, obviously they have a quarter final next weekend, all going well. So like, they mightn't be completely wound up for this game, so we'll see. Yeah, I just think 13 points is a lot, and I think Westmeath, with Wexford not having the forward power, maybe I think Westmeath plus 13 is a decent bet.
Okay, you've made a very valid case. Westmeath plus 13 at even money with Paddy Power for Damien Fitzgerald. For Aidan Fogarty, it is.
Yeah, I was actually looking at the same thing myself. But these games, look, I think first of all, the McDonnell Championship, the way it's worked out, has been super. You know, Carlow and Westmeath in Croke Park last weekend. And obviously in the McCarthy Cup this weekend. Now, I'd wonder on the levels, it's a huge step up to the McCarthy Cup, obviously. And look, I played in games like this as well, where we were playing Westmeath and we were playing maybe the Cardinals, and it's such a hard game to get up for, because at the back of your head, really, you kind of know that you're probably going to get the result that you want. And yeah, the manager can be telling you it's going to be a tough game and beyond, and you could get caught in all this, but at the end of the day, you are thinking that, and that's where the levels drop, and it can be really sticky, but I think Westmeath on the handicap is a decent bet. I don't see, I was looking at another one, maybe, you know, under 3 goals. Wexford hasn't been scoring that many goals, so under 3 goals, a 2-1 could be a good one as well. But I don't see any other result other than Wexford obviously winning.
That's an interesting one. Yeah, under 2.5 goals, a 2-1 with Paddy Power. Yeah, it's a funny one. Have you ever played under a manager when you have been playing a game that you're expected to win convincingly, where a manager has said, right lads, we're going to win this game, just don't get complacent, blah, blah, blah. Or manager's mentality seems to always be, you know, this is a 50-50 match. We have to get stuck in no matter what the opposition. Have you ever played under a manager that's actually said, you know, lads, we're going to win this?
No, never played under a manager. If I did get for a manager, I'd be getting very worried. But what I did find was that the build-up to the match might be different. Like, obviously, there's a quarterfinals to be playing next weekend as well. So it's very important to get the build-up right, that you're not overly building up, and also that you're actually saying it to the guys in a playing manner that we probably are going to win, but make sure to be on your toes. And probably what the manager is saying is that there's places up for grabs on the team.
If they
play well, that you're going to have a chance next weekend. And that's what the players are going to be thinking as well. Like I see in the Limerick team, there's three changes to the team. So them guys coming in now, if they have a really, really good game, it's putting a competitive nature into the panel. And they're aiming a shout maybe for the weekend after. That's the way probably that you'd be looking at from a player's point of view. And from a manager's point of view, it's not getting too caught up in the process of saying, look, it's a 50-50 game, because players just won't believe that and they won't believe you. So it's more kind of just getting the team ready for that match rather than talk about the opposition.
And that brings us on nicely to the other hurling encounter this weekend. It's 7 o'clock on Saturday and it is Carlo v Limerick. A similar sort of situation here, Damien. Some prices and handicaps.
Yeah, 16's Carlo, 40's to draw and 1-66 Limerick. And we're just 1 point higher in this match. So it's Limerick minus 14, 10-11, 13-1 to handicap draw and Carlo plus 14 at evens.
Right, now I'm going to give you my opinion. If I was sitting in that meeting and in Power Tower and all our heads were being put together and they said to me, David Jennings, what do you think the handicap should be here? My answer would have been about 17.
Yeah, in that meeting, my answer was a little bit higher as well, to be honest. I think I'd rather back the minus in this game. I think like one thing Taggy said there, I think there's a lot more competition for places in the Limerick side than there is for Wexford. Like Wexford seems to play the same team all the time, whereas Limerick, there's a couple of lads like Dowling, Galan, a couple of other lads that are really going to be playing for their places. And I think Limerick have a lot more goal scoring threat than Wexford do as well, which, like, with these big handicaps, to beat them you need to get a few goals. So I'd probably be on the plus in the Westmeath match and I'd probably be on the minus here and for Limerick. I just think Limerick have a far greater scoring threat than Wexford do.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Like, they were, like, when you think of it this way, I know Waterford were poor this season, but they beat Waterford by 13 points, so you're only asking them to win by 2 points more against Carlo. And I know Waterford were depleted this year, but by God, I think that 14 points looks quite a few points wrong. Aidan, are you going to make it a hat-trick?
No, I think you're dead right. As you said, they bet Waterford well. And like the drew against Cork, who are now Munster champions, and there's a lot of talent in that team. Like, the full forward line is Galan, Flanagan and Mulcahy. Like, so that's a serious full forward line. So I see one there. There's a bet for 52.5 points. It's 5-6. I'd be back on that. I think it's going to be a high scoring game. I think the guys in the Limerick team are going to try and make statements for next day. Like Aaron Galan wasn't making the team because of he played full forward there.
Shane Dowling
played last day, and he's on the bench now. So these guys are going out to make statements. Might be going for more than 52.5 points in 5-6.
Beautiful. We love that. Over 52.5 points, 5-6 with Paddy Power. So now it's time for the best bets of the weekend. I think that Mayo are absolute certainties and that the 2 point handicap could be obliterated. Jack, we're changing that now, right? We're changing it next week, Jack. Well, I'm not listening to me talking shite about Mayo any longer. I've suffered enough, okay? So we're going back to Steve, whatever his name is, tunes of This Cannot Be Beaten, okay? Are you listening, Jack? Yeah, I hope I got to go ahead. So anyway, the best bets of the weekend, Aidan Fogarty.
Yeah, I'm going back to my grassroots. I'm going back to my.
You're not. You can't, Aidan. No, they were down in the grave last weekend. You're not bringing the coffin out, are you?
I didn't go for a pint last weekend in Kilkenny because exactly what I said. So I want to go for a pint this weekend. So I'm back in Kilkenny on the handicap at +3 at even. I think that's the.
Okay, so Kilkenny +3 in the Leinster Hurling Final replay against Galway for Aidan Fogarty. For Damien Fitzgerald?
Yeah, we were just talking about there. I think that Limerick minus 14, I think they'll get goals and I think they'll just pile up the scores. So I'll go with that.
Yeah, and I'm going to second that. So it is Limerick minus 14 at 10-11 with Paddy Power for me. So that's it for the hurling action in part one. Join us again in part two, where we'll be joined by Joe Sheridan to talk about the All-Ireland football qualifiers.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new, fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the GAA Postcast with me, David Jennings, Damien Fitzgerald from our sponsors, Paddy Power. And for part two, we're joined by me legend, Joe Sheridan. We're going to start our qualifier previews with the match between Roscommon and Armagh. 3 o'clock on Saturday at Portlaoise. Damien Fitzgerald, can I get some prices and handicaps, please?
Yeah, we've Roscommon at 8-13, 8-1 to draw, and Armagh at 7-4. Roscommon -2 is 6-5, handicap draw 9-1, and Armagh +2, 5-6.
Look, I've been sitting on the fence all year. I've been kind of letting you two rabbit on about you fancy this, you fancy that, you fancy something else, and telling me Galway are certain he's Joe Sheridan all year. Well, I think the bet of the whole entire football or hurling championship comes at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Now, I'm not going to reveal what it is, but I'm going to let Joe Sheridan give his thoughts on Roscommon and Armagh. And if we do agree, Joe, let's lump on. Who do you fancy?
Yeah, I really fancy Roscommon here. I think Armagh got lucky. I was loving my bet last weekend at 15-8 with Clare, and I think they just probably let it slip. You know, Armagh got 1-5 without replying the last couple of minutes, and I think Clare thought they had the game won, and then Armagh got on a bit of a roll. And to be fair, they never give up. They had a couple of chances, but Clare, I just thought, had a bit more quality and always looked to be seen to be pulling away, but I think they just took their eye off the ball in the last sort of 10 minutes to let Armagh into the game. I think Roscommon, you know, they were pretty impressive in the first sort of 10-15 minutes against Galway, and then after that Galway got on top, and like Roscommon didn't score for the last 35 minutes of the game from play, and that's probably a worrying sign. I don't know whether that was because they were playing Galway, but I think they're going to be a lot better against Armagh, and I can see Roscommon. It's going to be a tight game, but I think Roscommon will have the quality, especially up front. They will get goals, or a goal-scoring team, and I can see them getting a couple of goals against Armagh as well. And I don't see Armagh progressing after the weekend.
Well, you were going great there, Joe, up until you saying that you think it'll be a close affair. I was agreeing with absolutely everything you said. Listen up. I'm only going to do this once or twice in the podcast series. This Roscommon team are absolute certainties. 5-6 Roscommon -1 with Paddy Power. Rob the kids' piggy banks. Rob everything you can find. Go through your lockers. Go through your drawers and find every penny you have. Not obviously, gamble responsibly, obviously. But Roscommon -1, 5-6 with Betfair and Paddy Power. Damien Fitzgerald, what were you at when you were pricing up this game? Roscommon are at a different level to Armagh. They're Division 2 champions. They were Connacht champions last year. They drew at Mayo and Croke Park. I think they've actually progressed this year. For 50 minutes of that Connacht final against Galway, they were the better team. They were long odds on and running. And obviously, they finished the game pretty poorly. And they had the wind in the second half of that kind of final. But I think just Galway sucked the life out of them. Galway are such a team, like it's such a frustrating team to play against, the style that they play. They're playing against an Armagh team that have been leaking big scores. Roscommon's attack is so much better than Armagh's attack. They've got a structure in place. They know how big this game is. For Roscommon to get to the Super 8s is massive. Like, it's not like the last couple of years where if you're beaten in a provincial final, the provincial finalists have a shocking record and there was a 7-day turnaround and 6-day turnaround in some cases. It's different this year. Roscommon, this is the biggest game, I would say, in the last 50 years for Roscommon almost. I know we had the Mayo match, but if they can get to the Super 8s, it's another sign of progression. And I think Roscommon are going to beat Armagh by 2 points or more. Damien, tell me I'm right.
Well, I don't know if you want me to convince me that much, David, or the price will change. I think Armagh have a great chance here. I think, like, Armagh, they've a really good qualifier record. They're a good qualifier team. I think, like, their Ulster record is very poor. I think the kind of tight games that happen in Ulster don't really suit them. Whereas when they get out of Ulster into qualifiers and they're a bit higher scoring, I think, like, gives them a bit of freedom, man. Like, they got back to the quarterfinals last year. They were in the quarterfinals last year, so they won all the qualifiers last year. Roscommon, I know you're saying ignore the second half against Galway, but I can't ignore it. It was just too bad. Like, they had very strong wind turning around there. They were 2 or 3 points up, and they didn't turn up at all in the second half.
But the wides killed them, Damien. Like, they were kicking wides from you know, 80% conversion rate they should have had, and they had maybe a 5% conversion rate from the places they were shooting from. Like, it was just shooting, I thought, that let them down at vital stages.
Yeah, well, shooting under pressure is kind of a skill as well. Like, I thought when Galway pushed up and actually went man-to-man on the kickouts, it didn't look like Roscommon knew what they were doing, and, like, they got a lot of turnovers high up the pitch, Galway. I think Armagh will really look at that. Like, McGeaney will look at that, and I think Armagh will push up on all the kickouts. And I just think Armagh are a very fit side as well. Like, so I think that really helps them qualifiers. Like,
is there something that we don't know here, Damien? For the last 3 weeks in a row, you've been telling us how fit this Armagh team are. Are they doing like this incredible army training or something? You seem to think that they're the fittest team in Ireland.
I think, like, for a team of that level, they are extremely fit. I think McKinney has them extremely fit. Like, if you look at the results over the last, in the qualifiers, like, they've generally pulled away in the second half, very late in the second half now against Clare last week, in fairness. But
not a level? Like, are the top, like, obviously Dublin are operating probably at a different level, right? But I mean, from the fourth best team in Ireland to the tenth best team in Ireland, surely the level of fitness are quite good and pretty similar.
I think they're pretty good, but I'm not sure they're similar. Like, a 4th to the 10th, I don't think you'd put Armagh in that. Like, I think Armagh are probably a bit lower than that, but I think their fitness does give them a chance in games like this. Now, I don't think there's much between Roscommon and Armagh as some people might think. Like, Armagh, in fairness, they should have been a Division 2 team this year. They were unlucky not to get promoted last year. They got promoted very easily from Division 3, so I think they're a Division 2 team, really. And, like, I think they'd have been mid-table Division 2. I don't think they'd have been towards the bottom of Division 2. I think they'd have stayed up in Division 2 very easily this year. So I'm not sure there is as big a gap between Roscommon and Armagh as maybe the league tables would make it look like.
I'm not so sure. So, Joe, what is the bet in the Roscommon Armagh, the first of the qualifiers? That started off in a high. What do you think is the best bet on the coupon?
Yeah, I've been looking at a couple, and I think this bet has done me pretty well over the last couple of weeks, and I'm going for Roscommon, the only team to score a goal at 14-5. They're, as I was saying earlier on, they're a very good team to get goals. They're very, very consistent, will always score. Armagh, not so much. You know, they shipped a couple of goals against Sligo and Clare. So I do think that's a great bet at 14-5 for the weekend.
Lovely, we like that. Just under 3-1 for Roscommon, the only team to get a goal. Damien Fitzgerald, if you tip Armagh now, we're hanging up on you.
I think Armagh have a very good chance. I don't think there is that big gap that some people seem to think there is between these two teams. I think both teams score a goal at 4-5 looks big enough to me as well. I think Armagh are able to score, and I don't think Roscommon are watertight at the back, to be honest.
Okay, I'm going to give you 3 bets for this match. Roscommon -1 at 5-6 with Paddy Power. Roscommon -5 at 11-4 with Paddy Power. And Roscommon half-time, full-time at 11-8 with Paddy Power. You can thank me next week. That is Armagh v Roscommon in Moor Park in Port Laois at 3 o'clock on Saturday. So moving on to 5 o'clock live on Sky Sports. It is the second of the doubleheader at Port Laois. It is Cork v Tyrone. Damien, can I get some price and handicaps?
Tyrone are 1-3 here, 8-1 the draw, and 10-3 Cork. Tyrone -4 is 11-10. Handicap draw is 10-1, and Cork +4 is 5-6.
Now, Joe, we're going to come to you here first. I know you were very keen on Tyrone last weekend. You thought they were going to hammer Cork, which in essence they kind of did. Like, they were always going to win, and I know you didn't get your bet up, but I think the theory was right. Are they coming together? Are they starting to kind of wrangle their way in as All-Ireland contenders?
I think they're well off All-Ireland contenders at the minute. Last weekend, like, they were very comfortable in the game against Cavan. I know Garone McKiernan had a great game and kicked some points from all angles. And Tyrone could have kicked on, I think, in the last 10 or 15 minutes, but they played keep ball. And they were just using their heads and just seeing out the game. They are getting all their players fit. You know, they're getting a lot of games. The players that they had at the beginning of the year, like Tierney McCann and Colm Kavanagh, who were injured and struggling to get form, they're slowly getting there. And more games that they play, the better they're going to get. You know, when you look at this Cork team, they're so frustrating. They can come out and beat Tip, the team that we all thought would progress to the Munster final by, what was it, 170-9 points, and then they go out and go 2-4 against Kerry. You know, they're a model of inconsistency or inconsistency, and that's the problem with this Cork team. They're like Mayo from last weekend. You just don't know what team is going to turn up. So you can't really predict too much when this Cork team are going to play. I do see Tyrone probably having too much for them. they're very clever. They know how to get through the qualifier system. And they would, Mickey Hart will have it well drilled in them. You know, this is a massive game for Tyrone, especially after the performance in the Ulster Championship. And Mickey Hart will have them so well versed for this game. And it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be very tight, though. I don't think Tyrone are going to come out and absolutely run right on Cork. I think Cork will be sort of a lot better than they were against Kerry, and I can see it being, you know, it's going to be tight, and I can see, you know, I'd be looking at probably Cork to cover the handicap at +4. That's what I'd be looking at.
Okay, so Cork +4 at 5-6 with Paddy Power for Joe Sheridan. Damien, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this game, because at the start of the year, like us, you were almost converted into a Tyrone lover. But I think, like the rest of us, I think our relationship is not blossoming at the moment.
No, I thought Tyrone, yeah, they're getting through, and that's about as much as you can say from, I think, at the moment. Like, they weren't very impressive against Cavan last week. They do know how to win games, and they know how to get over the line, and like, there is the kind of core of a good team there, and they have a structure that like means that they're always going to be difficult to beat at the least. Frank Burns has been a big find for him in centre back.
Absolutely, cracking
He's
player.
Probably been their player of the year, but definitely been their player of the year so far. So yeah, there is kind of things there, and like I don't think anyone's going to hammer them, even if they do get to the Super 8s. Like, I think they'll keep grinding it out, and yeah, they'll be there, but there just does look to be a spark missing. And I think Cork could give them a game this weekend. I think, like, Cork, they're going to have to put in a performance after that shocking display in the Munster final. Like, last year, in fairness as well, after Kerry beat them in the Munster final, they came out and they gave Mayo a very good game. They've made a few changes to their team, Cork, as well. It's a lot more attacking than the team that played Mayo, with the two Hurleys coming into the full forward line, giving Luke Connolly a bit of a support. So I think Cork will give Tyrone a game, and I think maybe just again Tyrone's kind of know-how and ability to grind it out will get them there. So like Tyrone by 1-3 points is 3-1. I think that's a decent bet in this game.
And just for people that mightn't be familiar with the Cork team, that doesn't mean that they're allowed to use Hurley sticks in the full forward line. It's actually the second name of two of their players. Just for anybody that thinks that the rules have changed for this qualifier. What was your bet again, Damien?
Tyrone by 1-3 points at 3-1.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, the one I like in this is over 2.5 goals. I've fallen for this. I've fallen into this Tyrone trap of their team that creates so many almost goal chances. I saw them against Meath, even against Cavan. It's that final pass that seems to be killing them. But I do think if you do back goals in Tyrone matches, you're going to get a great run for your money, because they attack. They often get 4 or 5 players inside the 14-yard line when they are attacking. And if they can just get that final pass, I think. And obviously we've seen in the Munster final that Cork can get goals too. So over 2.5 goals for me in Cork v Tyrone. So moving on to the final match on Saturday night. It is Fermanagh v Kildare. It's in the great lights of Park Tailteann in Navan. And Damien Fitzgerald, can I have some prices and handicap for Fermanagh v Kildare?
Yeah, we're 4-9 Kildare here. 8-1 to draw and 5-2 Fermanagh. Handicap is Kildare -3, 6-5, 9-1 handicap draw, and Fermanagh +3 is 5-6.
Damien, we're going to kick off with you here. I have to say, I was very, very, very impressed with this Kildare team. I think it was the performance that we thought they were all capable of, but we just never knew if they were going to produce it. And obviously the Newbridge or Nowhere slogan obviously worked. The team came together, and it was the first 70-minute Kildare performance that we've seen in a long time. And spare a thought for those of us who are absolutely mad on Kildare to lead at half time, and they led 7-2 and they didn't lead at half time.
I wasn't too happy about that myself either, David. I think like Kildare were very, very good last week. Obviously, like as you said, a real 70-minute performance. Like there was a lot of different stages at the game where it looked like Mayo were getting on top, and that they were going to kind of grind it out and go 3 or 4 points ahead, but Kildare always got a score when they needed it. And then at the end, they really they just got on top for the last 10 minutes, and it was a very, very impressive performance by Kildare. Now, having said that, I think of all the teams in this draw that they wouldn't have wanted, I think Fermanagh are definitely the team Kildare wouldn't have wanted. Because if you look back to them losing to Carlow in Leinster, Fermanagh are a team who are going to provide a very similar threat to Carlow, as in they're going to be very defensive. Kildare are going to have to be patient. They're going to have to kind of break down this team. They're not going to, it's not going to be a gung-ho kind of attacking game like it was against Mayo last week, which kind of suited them. So after losing to Carlow, this is not the team they'll want to see. Fermanagh are probably a slightly better version of Carlow. So yeah, I think Kildare, if they get too ahead of themselves and start looking to the Super 8, this is a very dangerous game for them.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I thought there was a bet here. I thought Fermanagh under 15.5 points at 8-11, I thought was a decent bet with Paddy Power, because I think this is going to be quite low scoring. Joe, how do you see this one going?
Yeah, I really fancy Kildare. They really stood up, and it's the first time I've seen a Kildare team actually, you know, show some balls and take the game by the scruff of the neck, because last number of years, you know, they fell at their final hurdle when people expect them to do a lot better. You know, the midfield was incredible. Like, the Mayo midfield in the last 5 or 6 minutes, I don't think got their hands on the ball. You know, Feedy was incredible, caught balls all over the place. And then obviously with the like the Daniel Flynn up front, he was so impressive. You know, he was all over the place. He was kicking points from everywhere. Fermanagh depends on anyone who'll be able to handle him. You know, Fermanagh, you know, they are a sticky team, and you know they will try and keep it low scoring. Will try and keep it tight, but I don't think that they're going to have enough for Kildare. And you know, I can see Kildare maybe putting up a good score against Fermanagh at the weekend.
So, Joe, what's the best bet on the Kildare Fermanagh coupon?
Yeah, I think Kildare are probably going to see out this game pretty well. I'm looking at Kildare -3 is 6-5. I could probably go more, but I'm just going to hold off and go -3. I do see Daniel Flynn having a great game, as I said, and Daniel Flynn to get score the first goal at 11-2, and maybe if you want to just wind down that, say Daniel Flynn to score a goal anytime, I think he's definitely going to get a goal.
Damien, what's your best bet on the Kildare Fermanagh coupon?
You just mentioned it earlier. I like that under Fermanagh under 15.5 points a lot as well.
We're going to go down together, Damien. We'll go down together.
Yeah, they haven't been hitting scores anywhere near that in the championship so far. No Fermanagh goal is 5-4 as well, and I think that's another decent bet. So, yeah, I'm not convinced Kildare are going to win by that much. I'd stay away from the handicap on this game and the match. But yeah, I think under points for Fermanagh is definitely a good bet.
Yeah, I certainly agree. And the final, the fourth and final qualifier clash, the last ticket into the Super 8s, is at Park Tulloch and back in Navan on Sunday at 2:00. It is Monaghan v Laois. Damien, some price and handicaps.
Yeah, we're 1-6 Monaghan, 14-1 the draw, and 5-1 Laois. Monaghan -6 is evens, handicap draw 10-1, and Laois +6 is 10-11.
And your thoughts on this one, Damien?
Yeah, these are the sort of games Monaghan can often have trouble in. Like, they're not, like, obviously they lost to Fermanagh earlier in Ulster. So they can often have they've lost to Longford in the qualifiers a couple of years ago as well. So they can often have trouble down last year as well in championship. So they do lose against these lesser teams, and I think Laois +6, they can probably keep it tight anyway. I'd say Monaghan will probably just get over, but I think Laois at +6 is definitely the side I'd rather be on.
I think Laois will give this a right rattle. I think the bet here could be Laois to lead at half time. We certainly saw in the Leinster final against Dublin, their best half was by far in the first half, and they have been starting games well, both in the league and in the early stages of the championship. The start has been the key catalyst for their win so far this season. I think Laois could lead at half time here. I think Monaghan struggle, as you say, they really do just struggle to really bat away these kind of weaker sides, and I think Laois are certainly a step up from what they've played so far in the qualifiers. So I think Laois could lead at half time. Joe, what's your thoughts on Monaghan v Laois?
Yeah, Monaghan weren't that impressive against Laois on the last day. This is good 119 though, and they had a couple of goal chances. The thing with Monaghan, they're not really at 100% yet. Like McManus, Jack McCarron, these lads, the main scorers up front, they haven't really got going, and that would be a worry at this stage of the championship. They've had a couple of games and maybe find out their best team and their system, and they probably haven't had a tough enough test at the minute. Leash, obviously after the Dublin game, like it was they had no hope of winning the game, so they probably they showed up for maybe 10 or 15 minutes, but Dublin could have scored another 4 or 5 goals, and I think Dublin were just maybe in second or third gear that day, so it probably didn't show up as bad for Leash as people would have expected. I think Monaghan will win the game. I think they'll be pretty impressive as well when they do it. I think when they get to this stage of the championship, they probably put their serious heads on, and especially with a position in the Super 8s up for grabs, I can see them. Like, Leash have some good forwards with the two Kingstons obviously up front. They have a steady team, but I don't think that they're going to have enough for Monaghan, and I can see Monaghan, you know, it's 4 or 5 points in the end.
Okay, so do you think that you probably don't think they might? Do you think they might struggle to cover the 6-point handicap?
Yeah, but Monaghan, like they could come out and obliterate. But at the minute, the way they're playing and their forwards, their main forwards, McManus and McCarron, are going, like, McManus only scored 2 points from play the last day. McCarron didn't even score from play, you know, and this was against the Leitrim team who probably,
he's a disappointing footballer, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's got so much potential, and he was blown up when he first came onto the scene a couple of years ago, and he just hasn't sort of done it for me at the minute, and he threatens to do it the whole time. He'll score maybe 1-2, 1-3 every now and again, and then you won't see him, and he's very inconsistent, so he needs to probably get his form at a consistent level, the way that McManus does every game, but McManus is struggling as well, so they're a good team. They've got players. You know, Malachy O'Rourke is a fantastic coach, and he'll have them well tuned this game. There'll be no sort of looking beyond this game, and I think that they will win the game, but I don't think it's going to be by that much.
Okay, so a narrow Monaghan win for Joe Sheridan, and I'm actually going to put up a 40-1 poke in this game, just because it's nearly Christmas. I'm going to put up a draw, Leash to lead at half time. And a draw at full time at 40-1. I just think if Leash do get on front, Monaghan will probably peg them back in the second half. But could be tight, and I just think 40-1 might be a little bit too big for that. So it's Leash to lead at half time and a draw at full time at 40-1 with Paddy Power. So lads, time for the best bets of the weekend in the football championship. Joe, we'll come to you first.
Yeah, mine is 4 teams together for the 4 teams to qualify into the Super 8s. I was looking at it. Monaghan to beat Leash, Kildare to beat Fermanagh, Tyrone to beat Cork, and Roscommon to beat Armagh at 3-1 with Paddy Power.
Yeah, I'm just looking. Our fellow county man, who is one of Paddy Power's ambassadors, Colm O'Rourke, put this up as his Colm O'Rourke's weekend certs. Monaghan, Kildare, Tyrone, and Roscommon all to win 3-1 with Paddy Power. So Joe Sheridan and Colm O'Rourke are singing from the same hymn sheet. Is that the first time that's ever happened, I wonder?
Just about, probably, yeah.
Yeah. You're probably used to him roaring at you in training in St. Pat's.
Exactly.
Damien Fitzgerald, your best bet of the weekend, and we're definitely hanging up now if it's Armagh.
No, I won't go that far. It isn't that match, though. Both teams to score a goal in that match is 4-5, I think it's close to a cert.
Okay, and not close to a cert, but actually a cert. Roscommon -1 against Armagh at 5-6 with Paddy Power. God, I set myself up for these falls, don't I? You just know. Roll on 7 days, we're going to be back on the podcast, and producer Jack is going to be playing a clip of me talking about Roscommon, who are probably 2 or 3 points up in the second half and lost by 7, and I will have egg in my face once more. But I'm going to stick to my guns. I think Roscommon are a far better side than Armagh. So hopefully, come on Kevin McStay and Roscommon, let's produce the goods. So that's it for this weekend's show. My thanks to Joe Sheridan, who talked us through the football qualifier clashes. In part one, we were joined by Aidan Taggy Fogarty and Damien Fitzgerald from our sponsors. Paddy Power was with us the whole way through. If you enjoyed these shows, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes, or any other platform you are listening to us on. Enjoy the hurling and football this weekend, and don't forget to join us next week.
But I do reckon Tyrone are going to win this one.
This Tyrone team means business. Tell me they're going to win on Sunday.
I was just saying to you off air there, like, it's the first time that I've seen a Tyrone team in as long as I can remember that I'm actually looking at it going, wow, like, that's actually their strongest team, and that's the strongest team they have available to them.
I looked at the team and I said, wow, I said, that is one of the best balanced teams probably in the country at the minute. The whole team across the board is so strong. And
well, I'm going to set the ball rolling here for the best bets. I think you can take your pick. Tyrone minus 2, 11 to 10. That looks a great bet. Tyrone over 17.5 points at 6 to 5 with Paddy Power. That looks a great bet. But perhaps the best bet of the lot, Tyrone over 1.5 goals.
And there it is, the full-time whistle. The Ulster champions have been dethroned. Delight for Monaghan. And they're through to the Ulster semi-final. Final score in Healy Park, Oma. It's Monaghan 118, Tyrone 116.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.